funding Zelensky is going to destroy us, as it currently is destroying us, and our leadership are like, yeah, why don't you just suck it up? Not a fan. Not a fan at all. Not a fan of Russia invading Ukraine. Not a fan of Russia generally. Not a fan of Ukraine generally. Definitely not a fan of Zelensky. Not a fan of Putin. Not a fan of any of these people. And Boris Johnson's like, yeah, so we're going to give them loads of your money. I hate it. I hate everything about this. And this is going to have serious consequences, right? But before we begin, if you want to support us, sign up to lowseas.com. £5 a month. That's how we keep the lights on. And check out important articles like this one from Guy Birchall, which is how the ideological capture of the Conservative Party and thus Britain is complete. The left-wing ideological capture. And this is a part of it, because you'll notice what they're saying. Well, it's the liberal world order that's at stake here. And what do they mean by liberal? They don't mean what I would consider liberal. What they mean is that Ukraine needs those gay pride parades, baby.
They don't have any.
They will.
Gay pride is illegal.
No. Zelensky said he was going to rethink it.
Oh, alrighty. Welcome to the West.
These things, it's a continuous expansion of a certain kind of progressive culture. And Ukraine's going to be getting it. But anyway, so let's begin with the impact of the Russian invasion in Ukraine and how that is affecting inflation. Now, I'm no expert in any of these things. I'm not even sure the Federal Reserve is an expert in these things either, but they do say that increased geopolitical risks induced by the Russian invasion of Ukraine will weigh adversely on global economic conditions throughout 2022. Such effects are estimated in our model to reduce GDP and boost inflation significantly, exacerbating the policy trade-offs facing central banks around the world. Now, I'm sure that printing vast amounts of money didn't help, because as I understand it, inflation is a consequence of too much money, too few goods. Not an expert, but that's how I understand it. And so Biden pouring money out into the economy and then a contraction of the amount of resources you can get from Russia or anywhere else, because Ukraine has stopped exporting wheat and things like that because of the war. This is going to cause inflation. Okay, fair enough. That's one, not the sole factor, I'm sure, but it's a contributing factor. The House of Commons say much the same. High and rising inflation is a recent feature of the UK economy. Prices rising their fastest in 30 years. The economic side effects of the Russian military action in Ukraine may further result in inflationary pressures in the months to come. For the UK, higher energy prices would first be felt in petrol prices and potentially energy bills for businesses as well as households. Food prices may also rise, as Russia and Ukraine are important producers of various agricultural products such as wheat and also fertilizer, but they don't mention it there. Prior to the conflict in Ukraine, inflation was expected to peak in April 2022. But of course, it's gone on longer. And so, in summary, the chief economist at Citi, it says they're expecting an 18% inflation rate this year. 18%.
I'm sorry, I'm just very highly distrusting of that record of, trust us, inflation was going to peak, but then this Russian war happened, and now it's way higher. We couldn't have expected this. Well, it's like the amount of money you guys printed, 18% is what I would have expected without a war.
Yes, but this is mad. Like, this is worse than it was in 1979 when it was 17.8%, and that was enough to bring down Labour. So this is tragic. And of course, the Conservatives are polling about as popular as Labour did back then. So about 31% at the moment. I mean, this is tragic. Boris storms to a massive victory, and 3 years later, the Conservatives are in the absolute bottom. And it's because they keep doing things that are disgusting, in my opinion. But anyway, so this means that energy bills could hit £5,800 a year.
Yay.
It's unbelievable. Household energy bills could get this high. But it's not just the household. And this is why I'm like, okay, this war in Ukraine is actually going to destroy us. It is literally destroying businesses. So the next one is just like business organizations being like, hang on a second, like Martin McTague, the chair of the Federation of Small Business, has just been like, this is crushing small businesses, which is not good, really, is it? You know, we're a small business. Yeah, I don't want to get crushed. So the cost of living crisis can't be solved without addressing the cost of doing business, the cost of doing business crisis. And so this is just terrible. So, I mean, you've got like schools, which are considering to reduce to 3 to 4 days a week to cope with the energy bills and teach pay rises. And then you've got nurseries closing and things like that. So this is all just terrible. All just terrible. The general contraction of our country. Then you get like the old institutions like fish and chip shops. Apparently they face extinction. Like 70% or something, 66% of them are just basically reducing the hours to save money, which of course reduces the amount of custom they can do, which reduces the amount of people they employ, which reduces the amount of goods that they sell. And so it's kind of death spiral downwards, which is not good. The National Federation of Fish Fryers president, Andrew Cook, said that unfortunately this is potentially an extinction event for small businesses. It's like nothing we've ever seen before. So the government's like, hey, why don't we just print some money for you? Well, that'll solve the problem.
I'm actually going to shoot myself if they keep going, I'm going to manage inflation. How are you going to do it? I'm going to print money so you have money.
A government spokesman said, we are working closely with industry to mitigate the impact our sanctions have against Russia may have on British businesses, including the creation of a £100 million UK seafood fund. So they know them sanctioning Russia is crushing our business, and they're like, so we're just going to print money so your business is still going.
So you solve nothing. I mean, like, no. After that money's gone, you're going to need more money.
Yeah, that's good. Exactly. And at 100 million, but that's actually not very much these days.
My understanding as well, like, this wasn't one of the sanctions we were even particularly asked to do. Like, it was something Boris signed off on. It was not bringing in Russian fish. And it's just like, really?
But like, most of the world isn't sanctioning Russia.
Sure, but it's on the aspect as well, like, of all the things you could sanction, like, you're destroying a cultural institution of fish and chip shops in this country. I mean, like, globally known. Like this, I don't know what you could compare it to. I don't know, like Germans and their sausages, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, we're going to destroy that entire industry. Why? Because there's a Russian war, isn't it?
Because Russia...
Dude, you're not even really prime minister anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Russia is having an argument with Ukraine, and that means that British fish and chip shops have to go. But things get worse than that. You don't enjoy going to the pub, do you, Callum?
Well, not much anymore.
Well, good, because there aren't going to be any... 70% of pubs are expected to close, actually, due to these energy costs. So 65% of the pubs surveyed in this report found that utility costs had doubled, or 30% report a 200% increase.
Yep.
And 8% said they experienced an increase of 500%. Like, you can't run a business with this sort of expenditure. And 80% of them were like, we can't afford this. So out of 46,000 pubs, it looks like 30,000 might end up closing, ruining this country.
It's another British institution dead?
Probably the oldest British institution. Like the pub. Oh my God, there are literally 1,000-year-old pubs like that have closed recently because of COVID. And it's like, yeah, okay, now more are going to close because of the energy crisis. So they say the British Beer and Pub Association say we're experiencing a perfect storm that is not only shrinking but eradicating profitability margins. We urgently need an energy price cap for small businesses before extortionate bills cripple pubs and we lose them in communities forever across the country. And you will, of course, remember that a lot of the energy bills that we have are green levies. As in, the energy is... I watched a segment Nigel Farage actually did yesterday, but I didn't have time to put it in here. But 43% of your energy bill is the wholesale price. So that's the actual raw price to get the energy from where it comes to you. And so the rest is markup, right? And 12% of that on average across all of your different energy types is green energy tax that goes to funding green energy programs such as support for low carbon electricity generation.
To be honest, I am a little bit glad in a very roundabout way that this has come. Because for years leading up to this, you know, people in UKIP and people who are actually serious about energy policy
were saying,
look, you guys can keep investing in all this green technology, and what's going to happen is something will happen, and then the high price of this stuff will get ridiculous, and then people won't be able to pay for electricity anymore. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh, come on, nothing ever bad happens in the world. Okay, well, now this has happened, and we don't have an energy policy like a huge amount of nuclear in the country that would keep the prices down or something like that, and instead we have this. I was like, yeah, okay, the chickens really did come home to roost.
Yeah, I mean, recently the Conservatives closed the nuclear power plant. And it's like, why? Don't we need that? I think now would be the time to just be like, right, we're going to build like a dozen. Like, if you're pumping out money, you may as well pump out money into sustainable electricity.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, the energy companies are making record profits. So, big think on this one.
I do wonder, though, because in the last couple of years, they probably hemorrhaged money as well. You know, like the oil companies and whatnot.
Maybe, but not according to their profits.
All right.
All-time quarterly highs. They've never had so much money coming into their coffers. BP, Shell, Centrica, British gas owner. Massive profits, massive dividend payments and whatnot. And it's like, right, okay, great. So we're getting screwed. Everywhere we're getting screwed. Right. And then we haven't even begun to talk about Zelensky, right? I really don't like Zelensky. I don't respect him. I don't trust him. He is, as far as I'm concerned, just another Eastern European corrupt oligarch. Before the Ukraine war started, it turned out that I think was it the Pandora Papers that Zelensky had offshore accounts that were worth something like $750 million. How does a television comedian end up with $750 million in an offshore account?
It's a good TV show.
Really good TV show, apparently. Right. And so Bo has written an article about this going, look, I don't support Russia, obviously, but I also don't support Zelensky. Like, this is obviously a corrupt imperialist regime, like NATO puppet regime. Right. And so he says this: I do not support the corrupt Zelensky and his puppet government. I'm not on side with the Pentagon's war agenda. I do not want World War III to kick off over a manufactured conflict in an Eastern European backwater. That is a reasonable position to hold. Unrestricted support for Zelensky is not. And I completely agree. But the thing is, Boris seems to fail to understand that he's really alienating a large portion of his base with this unfettered support for Ukraine. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people who do support the war, you know, the war in Ukraine or whatever's going on, right? But Boris is out there visiting Zelensky again. He was out there yesterday. It's just insufferable, right? This was the BBC's live coverage where Zelensky gave Boris it's obscured by the thing, but there's a little plaque of on the line of bravery that says Boris Johnson. Really, Boris Johnson brave, is he?
Well, it's a weird fetish, isn't it? I mean, this isn't to say that anyone's supposed to, you know, you can support Ukraine against the invasion and all that, but the Western politicians and their involvement in this is just creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a private fetish at this point.
Yes. Like, I'm sorry, it's just really weird. Like, so this was Ukraine's Independence Day, and so Boris went over there, because why not? And Zelensky vows to fight Russian invasion until the end without concession or compromise, as long as we keep funding him.
Yeah, we're not really making that much difference anyway.
No.
Like, the money the UK is printing is a lot of money for us, but in regards to the Americans are giving, it's actually not that much.
You saw that, who was it? Was it Amnesty or something like that? Printed, I should have got it for this segment. I forgot to get it until right now. But they said, look, only 30% of the money is actually getting to the front lines where it's needed to resources. And then they were forced to retract the article, not because it was wrong, but because it essentially, I guess, is pro-Russian propaganda from the war zealots who are insisting that.
It's a higher percentage of the money we sent to Afghanistan than you got with the front line.
Well, that's silver true. Lining. But let's just have a look at how much money that we've spent, shall we? The EU has committed 1.8 billion euros. Sounds like a lot.
But it's on their border, so, you know, it might be more interesting to them.
Yeah, exactly. You think they'd be more concerned. The UK, though, 3.8 billion pounds.
That's what I don't get. It's just
twice as much as Europe. Why? Who cares? Who cares? It's just money.
Like, we literally cut the foreign aid budget because we couldn't afford it. I think it's last year.
Yep.
And now we're spending, in humanitarian aid alone, £3.8 billion.
And only 30% of that is actually getting where it needs to go. So the rest is probably just slush into Zelensky and his cronies' foreign bank accounts.
Well, it also might just be British people who set up a charity that works in Ukraine.
I don't doubt there are many people siphoning off this massive. But of course, according to the New York Times, the US has now sent $54 billion. Which is probably about 57 pounds.
This is what I mean by, like, you know, 3.8 billion pounds is a lot to us, but in the grand scheme of what the Americans are printing out, like, it means nothing. So I don't know why we even bothered.
It's insane, isn't it? Right. And so, and when confronted about this, Boris is like, yeah, we should pay for Ukraine to fight Russia. It's like, okay, why? Let's have a watch.
Is it sensible to pay for British taxpayers to support freedom in Ukraine? I say it is absolutely vital, and we've got to continue to do it.
We've heard that for 20 years in Afghanistan.
Yeah. But Afghanistan, it's not costing us like this, because the Russians, Afghanistan wasn't like the source of so much raw material, whereas Russia is.
Yeah, but just to find out, you could make the argument on a geopolitical thing, and I could stomach listening to that, but endlessly, don't you care about foreigners and their democracies?
Freedom and democracy in Ukraine. I don't care.
I could not give a crap about foreigners' democracies.
Zelensky has centralized all the media, abolished opponent parties. Like, there is no democracy in Ukraine. Now, you can say, oh, it's time of war. Fair enough. Do we think he's going to be like, yeah, so now I'm dispersing all the media, and now I'm allowing all the parties back? I just don't trust him. Don't trust him. Seems like,
no, but you're like, okay,
corrupt,
like,
oligarch.
It's not our business whether a foreign land frankly, you know, a free country or not. Like, I just, it's not something we should be stealing endlessly from our people from.
Do not care.
Influence. It's just, it doesn't not worth, actually matter.
It's literally not worth ruining this country over.
Right. Like, why don't we do the same to Saudi Arabia? We'll endlessly fund democracy movements in Saudi Arabia. We wouldn't, because it'd be a waste of time. We all know it.
Yeah.
It's just like, this actually isn't relevant to us. Sorry, it's just, I hate this rhetoric.
Yeah, and it's so hollow as well.
Empty your wallet for foreign democracies.
Yeah, democracy. Like, as if Ukraine isn't one of the most corrupt countries on earth.
But even if it was, it's just, I don't care. Like,
yeah, well, yeah, I wouldn't do it anyway.
But
anyway, so the next one, he goes on a bit about this, says, while people are paying in energy bills, the people in Ukraine are paying in blood. So, okay, well, how about this? They negotiate with Vladimir Putin.
Well, no, it's up to them to fight their war. Like, they want to fight for independence. That's fair enough. But you can't shame the West into being like, give money. Like, no, this is your war. And sure, we will help if we feel like it. But if we don't feel like it, you're not entitled to anyone's money. Like.
And so you, in Britain, will simply, quote, have to endure the cost of living crisis. Because Boris is going to give your money to the Ukrainians in what is probably a futile war anyway. It's not. I just don't. How long can this go on for?
Well, they may very well completely win it. Because, you know.
Maybe, but the Russians might win.
Either way, the question is really, should we be stealing from the UK taxpayer to endlessly give to a foreign regime in their war? And it's just like, you know, good luck to them, but it ain't me.
Yeah.
Like, good luck to the old Afghan government, but I don't care. And they collapse, so.
Right, well, I totally agree. But that's the thing. Like, I just don't see this as being a sustainable long-term thing, and why should we do it? But anyway, so basically, folks, right, problems are coming here. Like, there's been a massive shortage in fertilizer because of this, because of various sanctions and whatnot. So food production is going to become a problem. I think one evidence of this is on the government's contract finder. If you can scroll down a bit, you can see that they're looking for, if you can scroll down a bit, there's a number, £250 million on ration packs. That's going to be a lot of rations, isn't it?
Meh. I'm not too surprised by that. I mean, for the military. Like, over a period of 2 years or something, maybe.
The military is like 75,000 people.
Yeah.
£250 million of ration packs for 75,000 people.
Oh, yeah. 365 days a year. It's going to add up.
I think they're worried. I think they know food shortages are coming. And the thing is, we do know that food shortages are coming. So basically, go and stock up on canned goods and pasta, folks. Because it's not going to get any better. And apparently Boris is just completely in. Just completely in, so it's your money, you're paying for it, you're going to be the one who suffers.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this article from John Tangney, The Hollowing Out of Academia, with a silver tier track for silver and gold tier members. If you want to follow what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.